Amen. We have very distinguished guests with us this morning. Our junior church crowd. They don't feel like distinguished guests. I could see it written on their faces. Pastor Garner, if you'd hand out quiet seat prizes, we'd enjoy church. We would come upstairs more often, right? I feel that coming through right now. I can sense that. And we used to work with 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and there'd be a pile of them, but we would do the games at the end. It's like, where am I first? You do the Bible, or not Bible memory, but memory of the lesson. So I would take questions while preacher preached and taught the lesson, then we'd play memory games. And man, that was our first cutting of teeth in the junior church. And I like it because you can let your guard down a way ton. I really don't have one. I got like half a guard. But anyways, I let that half a guard down. And as long as you're excited about it, the kids get excited about it, get fired up about it. So young people, today we're going to talk about how important the number three is. How important the number three is. And so I know you're not three, but if you can remember the number three, you'll remember much of the message this morning. Genesis chapter number 1. We're going to look at one verse here. Then we got to jump over to another verse with a 3 in it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But we're going to start in Genesis and read and have a word of prayer this morning. Thought about asking how many of you have already broke some of your precious Christmas gifts that you've already received. And don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Jake, put your hand down. Put your hand down. You know, amen. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26, first 3 words. And God said, Father, thank you for your grace to us. We do pray that you bless our message this morning. We pray for Brother Don and Miss D and ask that you'd lift them up, Lord. We just ask for grace. We pray for the Owens and different ones that are not feeling well today, Lord. We pray that you'd help them, Lord. Pray that you'd help me this morning and you'd bless this message, Father, straight from your word. You'd use it in our hearts, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And God said, very important, very important. God said, let us. From those first 5 words, we can see that there isn't just one person around, because the Bible says us. If 2 people are saying let us, then you say, well, it's at least those 2. And we know, read a little bit further, that there was 3. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. And what's God's image look like? Does it mean God's 6'2" and 200 and however many pounds? And thanks to Brother Tom and some Christmas cinnamon rolls, Brother Tom, and praise the Lord. Did anybody let your guard down on the Christmas treats? You know, hopefully, Brother Joe threw caution to the wind. No, I was just kidding. Amen. Oh, amen. Is that what it means, that we look just like God how we are now? Or is it our construction? We'll see. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And young people, this is a very important. This is why you never want to look at somebody else and say, I wish I looked like that person. Because God made you special just how you are. Sometimes it takes you a long time to figure that out. Some adults don't have that figured out. They think, well, I wish I was. No, you don't. God made you special. God made you special. He made you in His image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Amen. And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And so God created us in His image. The number 3, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we're going to see our three parts that God has made. We're going to talk about how those parts work together and how you work. And if you'll really watch it and pay attention, you can predict things about people. You can predict how some things may turn out based on Scripture, based on how God has made you in His image. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Young people, if you want to memorize Scripture, this is a great chapter to do it because all the verses are fairly short. They're fairly short towards the back end of the chapter. The Bible says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole," again, three, "spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God has made us in His image. God has made us in three parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now, hopefully you've learned that God doesn't just throw stuff together and say, "Well, that was my first attempt. My second attempt shall be better." He doesn't do that, right? I remember in college writing my master's thesis, and you'd turn it in and the doc would give it back and it's all covered up in red, and he'd fix his just what he wanted and hand it in, come back, it was all red, and try to like, I'm fixing the thing. I'm turning it in. I didn't fix the thing, I turned it in, like, that looks good. I was like, "Oh, thank you, I appreciate that." My first attempt. And my second attempt, and my third, God doesn't do that. It's always perfect the first time. And He's made us in three here. The Bible says the order of God is so important. The order of God is so very important. Sometimes we miss it in Scripture. Sometimes we miss the firsts and the seconds, and we jump to the thirds, or we jump to the seconds before the firsts. We have Saul in 1 Samuel, and he didn't do the first, and he tried to do the second, and the man of God had to come and tell him, "No, that's not very good. You're supposed to kill the animals there, not here, and doing this and not that." And he said, "To obey is better than sacrifice," when the king wanted to sacrifice to God. We got to make sure we get our all the things that God has for us in order. When God says, how God says, He does those things. The Bible says our whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, right? The whole thing, all of it, right? So in our whole spirit, we're made up of fleshly stuff. We didn't have time to go back and read and say, God took dirt and made us. God knows what He's talking about. He's the one that made us. He knows how we need to be. You don't have to live your life and try to figure yourself out. God will tell you how you are. And then when you work to obey God and to do what He says, you'll see, man, God was right. This is exactly how He said. And your faith will grow in Him, as the Bible says, because you've listened to the Word of God. The Bible says we're in three parts here. First part is the spirit. Second part is the soul. And third part is the body. A lot of times, the part of us that gets the most attention is the body, right? Because that's the part we see the most. We're like, I got to take care of that body, right? And all the little kids left the house. They all had marks of eating cake on their faces, right? So the green frosting smears and all that. At the Christmas party, you could tell they'd been in the cake. You could tell. You could see it, you know. And they weren't going to church, so it was fine. You know, just, you know, go on your way, you know. My kids show up here like that, and you got to lick them down and wipe them down. Like, oh, man, come here. You know, give them the old spit washer, and like, yeah, you get you cleaned up. You can tell where they've been. We put a lot of effort into the body. I do not know how many billions of dollars are in the body market, but tons, all this stuff, right? All these things to make us look good, to try to help us make us look good, right? All these things is the body. But where is the body? It's third. Okay, it's third. That means it's not important. Doesn't mean it's not important, but it's third. Okay, we see here in the order of second is our soul. Is our soul. You go ahead and touch that for me, right? You go ahead and measure that and see how big it is, right? And you can't. And that's sometimes we forget about because we're like, well, I don't really see it. But boy, it is a huge part of who we are, right? Our emotions are locked up in the soul. The things we believe are locked up in the soul. How we drive the body all comes from our soul. It's your person. It's what makes you unique. The crazy book of faces, right? It throws your memories up. And we looked at a memory this morning from 6 years ago, and it was one of our children. I won't say who it is, but it just wasn't one of the boys. But anyways, she was hiding behind a curtain, and she was small. And you could tell by the look on her face, I'm about to do something. And as parents, you know the look. You're just like, mischievous. Can't spell it, but I know that word. I know that face, right? I just know it. Something's about to happen. Where is so-and-so? It's quiet. How many parents have said that to your spouse? It's really quiet, right? The calm before the storm, right? Or preemptive strike or whatever it's going to be. Said. It's really quiet. Something's happening, right? Inside that soul, somebody says, I have an idea. I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. Then the body comes along and does those things. And the body is a very important part of us is our soul. The soul is kind of the middle referee to decide, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You speak to yourself in your soul. You speak to yourself there. You will say, I really don't. And you don't even have to. Sometimes you can show it and sometimes you don't show it. Young people, how many think you can tell when your parents are angry with not hearing them, but just by seeing them? Raise your hands, young people. You think you know when raise them really high. Raise them really high. You can tell when your parents are angry just by looking at them, right? All right, put your hands down. I prove my point, right? I think every kid had their hands raised, some of them two hands, right? So I can tell, right? And how many young people you know at that time, it's really good just be silent, right? Yeah. Don't make any sudden moves, right? Yeah, man, you're like, I can tell they're not so happy, right? It's because the soul is now speaking to the body, and the body is putting those things out to be seen. And the Bible uses a word called countenance, and that is what we can see on the outside. Sometimes that's when we can tell we need to help somebody, because we can tell by their countenance that they're having a tough time, or they're having a bad day, or there's something going on where you just are you okay? And the whole reason why you ask is because you looked at them on the outside. They just, if you know them, you know of them, you can tell how they normally are and then how they're not right now. You can say, boy, I bet something's wrong. So that's number two is our soul. And then firstly, it says your whole spirit. You, the things that affect you, the ideas, spirits are, like I say, real simple definition, spiritual things, they're almost like ideas. I liken them to clouds, is what I liken spirits to, because they're about like a cloud. Is there a weight to them? Who knows, right? But they come in and they can control, right? Just like clouds can come in and control. When you got a ball game going and this big black cloud is coming, it makes you look up, right? This fall, we had one day we had to cut practice early because this black cloud came and had lightning in it. And you're just like, so but down home where you count them is then you count to the thunder, you start counting 1,001. We're like, oh, we're out of here. You know, you get to 1,010, 1,015, somebody else is getting it, not you. You know, it's like, well, we got a little bit longer, but man, if it's close, right? It's like, well, we got to get out of here. And it affects what you do, that cloud, right? So that spirit comes in, and it affects what you're going to do. And where it really affects you, affects your emotions. And sometimes you have an idea made up. Sometimes it creates one for you. And it's like, oh, this is wonderful. It's going to rain. Or, oh, it's going to rain, right? Then it speaks to your face, and your countenance changes based on this spirit. So it's very important, the spirits that we allow to affect us, because they're going to come just like the clouds. I can't stick something up in the sky and keep the cloud, this just happens to be here, and block the clouds in my life and say, oh, I'm going to choose not to let that cloud come. It's coming, right? It's going to come. But am I going to let it affect me? Let it affect my spirit, which in turn is going to affect my soul, which in turn is going to affect my body and the things that I do. Now, we need to go over to 2 Timothy, and we should be here the rest of the morning. Lord willing, we shall see. The spirits that come in is a very familiar passage. We're going to look at 7 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, the 7th verse. And we're going to see certain spirits that are given. When God says, I want you to be affected by this spirit. He said, I give it to you. I want you to be affected by this spirit. Paul is speaking to a young man named Timothy. He's written him several letters here. Now, you have Timothy 1 and then Timothy 2. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, verse 6, that ye stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Why do you think Timothy or Paul would have said that to Timothy? Maybe it was like time where it's like, it's your turn to go bat now. And you're like, oh no, everybody else has struck out. Now it's my turn and I'm going to look silly and whoo, right? And he's saying, don't be afraid. God's not giving us the spirit of fear. Oh wait, I don't have to be afraid? No, don't have to be afraid. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. The Bible says in verse number 7, He's given us, it says, but of power. So that would be the spirit of power. Now, if we read the whole Bible and we look at it, we said, are we given power? Are we born with just this superpower as people? No, not really. We're going to live and we're going to die. That's about it, right? No superpower that we physically have with us. But we have the ability to get power from the Lord to use it as He would have us to. Not to take it from Him as taking color from an object or taking the good qualities away from an object, right? If you could take sour away from a lemon, what would it taste like? See what I'm saying? It is the lemon, right? Otherwise, it's just a yellow something. It's always fun to see young people suck a lemon. It is just fun. You find out it's part of a personality test, I think, you know. Whether they or they shrivel up and fall down and all right. I like sour stuff. So if it's like Sour Patch Kids, I'll usually like, hey, can I have one of the yellow ones, please? Thank you. I like lemon juice. I always drink lemon juice when I'm little. I like it. But if you took that away from it, what would it be? If you took power away from God, what would God be? If you took love from God, what would God be? So you can't just go and say, well, I like this. I'm going to take it from. I'm going to take God's power. And I'm going to. No. It's Him. It is Him. It is Him. He gives us this spirit of power in Him. Next one it says, and of love. The spirit of love. Right? Brother Thomas from Pennsylvania. It is just amazing when we hear Philadelphia. And, you know, in the last few months, it just makes you want to spit. But it's the city of brotherly love, right? And you're thinking like, what happened? Where's the spirit? It's gone, man. It's gone. Different spirit going on, right? A different spirit that goes on. But He's given us this spirit of love. Again, the Bible says in 1 John that God is love. If you took love away from God and left it, what would it be? It's Him. It is Him. And so when He gives us these spirits, think of it as God sending these spiritual, He's sending Himself. He sent Himself. Last week we preached on Emmanuel, God with us and God in us. It's not that, well, He's here and He was born and He went back to heaven and He's up there and we're down here. He is inside of us, the Bible says. In John 14, John 16, the Spirit that He has left with us, but of power and of love, and it says, of a sound mind. A sound mind. Don't worry. I don't have a sound mind by myself. I prove it to myself almost daily. I'm like, oh, help us, Lord. Oh, thank you. But God has one. God is sound. He has order. Amazing order. When you just dwell upon the creation of God, it just blow your mind and think that what God can make small, what God can make big. It's just amazing. I look at several things on Instagram, follow several things. One of the folks that I follow, they're attached with some dig up north somewhere. They're always digging out mammoth tusks all the time. Huge. They're huge. unbelievable. I think, man, those things are awesome, right? We had a big moose in the yard the other day doing his thing. Wouldn't that be awesome to turn the corner and just have one of those mammoths just like walk like, whoa, what do we do? You know, and all the hunters are like, we want a permit for that one right there. Give us a permit. And it'll feed us for a year. It'll feed us for 20 years. The whole village, right? Unbelievable. God made those things. They didn't show up. No mouse didn't say, I just want to be bigger. And that's what he became. God made those things. It's amazing. Look, now they're not around anymore. But God made those things. He has great power. He has a sound mind. If we will draw from Him, what kind of mind do you think you could have? A sound mind. You could have a sound mind. Doesn't mean you're going to change the whole world, but it means you're going to think straight according to God. And that's where you need to be. And this is this preemptive message for this coming year. We have to preach a lot of these, but hey, you're going to be sound. Well, I just can't. I know. But you got to draw from the soundness of God. Again, if you took sound mind away from God, what would He be? If you stripped God of His love, what would He be? No, you can't. It is Him. You need God. You need God's Word. You need it. The Bible says a sound mind. I said we're going to try to stay here. We need to look at each one of these real quick. Power is in Ephesians chapter number 1. Power is in Ephesians chapter number 1. The kind of power that God has is ultimate power. We'll look at it here for our illustration in Ephesians chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 18, looking at God's power, Paul is praying, he's writing to the Ephesians, but he says, the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. So young people, that means, I want you to be able to understand this. There's some things you won't understand till you'll get older. Okay? You just won't. Your parents tell you not to touch the iron or don't touch a hot stove or don't touch fire or whatever, and you don't understand till you do it. Right? Now you understand. Right? They just didn't want you to learn that way. They just want you to listen to that. Now I understand. There's some things that you're going to learn as you get older, and that's true, but there's some things you need to learn now. You need to learn them right now. The Bible says that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I want you to understand that, right? We look at like, man, it's tough being an American. It's tough being this. And mom and dad aren't happy right now because stuff's going on that they can't control. Like, yeah, it's true. It's true, right? But hey, think about this. The hope of the calling that we have in God. God knows what's going on. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us word? It's right along with Scripture. I've given you this spirit of power. Oh, great, I have power. No, I'm going to change everything. No. God said, I'm going to give you power. I want to see you be changed from death to life. I want your speech to change from death to life. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want you to change the way you talk to help people. Wow. God can do that. God can change me. I watched Him do it. I watched Him do it, right? Sometimes against what I wanted. I said, oh man, and you had to submit to God's power and let Him change you and make you different. God changes your plans in life. You think, oh, I want to do this. I remember I'd go visit Grandpa, and I'd always ask us. I was playing football at the time. I was studying fisheries, and he'd say, "Well, if you don't make it playing football," he said, "fishing's not so bad." And I said, "It's true. It's true, right? It's true. Not bad things, but not the thing. Not the thing that God would have." He says, "I want you to preach my gospel. I want you to serve me." The Bible says, "What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us word?" The Bible says, who, what? Believe. You've got to believe. You've got to believe that God is that power. According to the working of His mighty power. What kind of power is it? Which He wrought in Christ. Wrought means to work. He worked it. If you see a banister, a railing, somewhere and the metal's been twisted. It's been heated up. They turn it in presses. They bend it. That's called wrought iron. Not rotten iron. It's just been worked. And they heat it and they twist it and they do all kinds of stuff to it. And that's called wrought. It just means worked. And God worked His power, the Bible says, in Christ when? When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Power. We don't strip God of His power. We need to have God. That will affect your spirit when you know you have God on your side. It will affect your soul. Instead of you saying, woe is me, you said, look at all God's power. All the focus is on Him instead of your problems. Okay? I mean, when we want to look at God, Satan would hand you a magnifying, or Satan would hand you a microscope and make God look really small. And if it was your problems that were in front of you, he would hand you this magnifying glass that would make your problems look really big. So God looks really small and your problems look really big. But really, if God had to choose, He said, here, look at this. It's almost non-existent. It's there, but here, look at me. Look how big I am. Look how strong I am. And it's our focus has changed. Instead of looking at our problems, we look at God who can solve all problems. You've got to have problems. You've got to have them. The Bible says He'll supply our need. It's a part of our need. It's problems. Really? It is? Yes. Yes. I mean, yes. It is. And we want a fruit. We want something that's there. But hey, but we've got to have rain. We've got to have heat. Down in the basin, we had wind. I mean, you had it all this stuff. And you're like, oh man, do we really got to have? Yeah, we've got to have that if we want this. Okay. Well, we'll deal with it. Well, I want to be patient. Well, here's a good serving of tribulation. You want to supersize that? Yes, please. I want my patience to be real strong. All right, here. Some extra tribulation. Oh, boy. Can't wait. But that's what you got to have. It doesn't make sense in the flesh, right? I need trouble so I can go through it with God and understand that I need to wait and be patient with Him. And wait and wait and wait upon the Lord. And then He brings me through, and it's great. My patience has been exercised. It's been strengthened. You go into the gym, Aiden, what happens to your muscles, right? They get broken, and it feels great. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. We used to come off a Christmas break. We'd go back. We'd start squatting again. You couldn't walk stairs for like 2 weeks. You're just like old men, right? We're all like 19. They're just like straddling. Oh, what happened? You're like, squat rack. You know, two words, right? Pain, you know. Been broken. But what happens when it breaks? It grows. And it gets stronger, right? You don't just stare at the weight bench and be like, I'm feeling good. No, you know, you got to get put under the weight, get broken a little bit. And then that, right? We want our faith to grow. Oh, it'll just grow by hoping. No, it grows by enduring. And the book says, endure until the end. Don't stop enduring. I don't want your faith to stop growing. Don't let it stop. You got to keep enduring. It's like, oh no, here it comes. And it's hard. In the flesh, you don't wake up and say, great, another opportunity. The something's on fire. Whatever it is. Like, no, it don't feel like that. It doesn't seem like that. But hey, if we get our glimpse of God again, we go back to God. We're not stripping Him of His attributes, saying the spirit of power is of God. I want that to influence my spirit. So my soul, boy, it doesn't tell the body, right? No, it says, Lord has this. Lord knows my situation. He knows my issues. Our second this morning was power, and the Bible says, and of love, and of love. We're going to go to John 17 real quick. John 17. Young people, what's our number this morning? Three. Very good. Very good. John chapter 17. I'm going to show you a couple of things about God's love towards you. Verse 20 of John 17. Love John 17, but we don't have time to read it all this morning. Verse number 20 of John 17. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. He's talking to the Father about the disciples. He said, the people that the disciples reach, I'm praying for them too. That's us. That's us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It's a choice to believe in Christ. It's a choice to deny the Lord. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Well, God's given the spirit of love. That means I could love anybody. No, that means you understand God's love towards you. Don't strip God of love. That's who He is. And that love from God, it affects my spirit to know that God loved me the same that He loves Jesus Christ. If that doesn't do something for you, we got to wake you up. Get the paddles out. Shock you a little bit spiritually. Like, God loves you the same as you love Christ. Wow, that's awesome. Hey, He also let the Son go to the cross and do the job. And He doesn't expect any less of us. But He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. But He loves us just like He loves the Savior. Father, verse 24 says, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Jesus wants to be with you. That they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Now, if He loved Christ and loved you as much as He loved Christ, the Bible says He loved Jesus before the foundations of the world. Who else did He love before the foundations of the world? It was you. Oh, God didn't know about me. I'm a mistake. No, 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 no. He loved you before the foundations of the world. Oh, righteous Father. Verse 24 says, Father. Verse 25 says, oh, righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. God wants that spirit of love that comes from Him to be in you. Same that was in Christ. Wow, that was amazing. The Bible says He loved the unthankful, was kind to them. How can we do that in the flesh? You can't. Can't do it. It's hard. It's so hard. It's so easy to do the flesh. So-and-so did this to me. I'm going to do it to them back. It's embarrassing to watch adults do that. But that's what happens because we're in the flesh. But where does God want us to be? He wants us to be affected by that spirit of love. The Bible says of power and of love. Thou hast loved me, may be in them, and I in them. He wants His love to be in us. Lastly, this morning, the sound mind will be in Philippians 4 this morning, and we're done. We've got about 5 minutes left. Philippians chapter number 4 this morning. Our number is 3. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost created us. He made us in 3 parts. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. And then there are 3 spirits that He has given us. The Bible says power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind. I was telling the men, ladies, in Sunday school this morning, we had ambulances across the street from the house on Tuesday morning, and text my neighbor and you know, they're about 10 years older than my wife and I. Their kids are high school age. The youngest is Nolan's age. And good folks. They knew the people that lived in our house before us. Just good people. And but it turns out mom had an aneurysm that morning. It passed away. Just woke up, had a real bad headache, and tough, 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 tough. And then I went over, and he's a gruff guy, lays tile, nice guy. I like him. Yeah, just gravelly voice. It's hard. It's tough. What do we have to rely on when the hard things come? That's a hard thing. You know, you think about it, it's like, man, that's hard. That's, you know, it's tough. What do you do? Man, I told him I loved him. You can love people even you don't understand things that some people are going through, but you take that love that God gives you and you can help give that to others. And next, when those things happen, this is where it's so important, is the sound mind. Okay? It's almost a sound mind. You don't want to forget about God and the power God has. You don't want to forget about the love and the love God has. You do not want to forget about this spirit of a sound mind. And you have to control what comes. The Bible tells us we have to be very diligent in Proverbs 4, that we have to keep our heart, Bible says, with all diligence. It says exertion and effort at the work at hand. If you look up the definition for diligence, you have to work at it. It doesn't just happen. I have to keep my heart. I have to decide what I'm gonna feed on intellectually and listen to and assimilate into my attitude. It'll affect me. It will get to me. It will change me. Change my spirit. Talk to my soul. Show it on my face. Right? See some people and. You happy?
Yeah.
Tell it to your face, right? You know, Pastor Mike, just take two fingers and shove it up the corner. Smile! I can't, you know, right? Because your soul's telling you, nothing worth smiling about here. I'm mad. I'm upset. What's going on? A sound mind. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Sometimes we miss out on this verse thinking about God because we see the word things. Well, God's not a thing. Don't you dare call God a thing, preacher. I know, right? But you could think about God's power. You could think about God's mercy as attributes as things. And you could think about God. That'll help give you that sound mind. He gives the spirit of a sound mind. Read the story of the maniac. I love the fact that the Bible is the word maniac. I don't. It probably has been a politically incorrect term for a long time. You're a maniac. Oh no, mentally disturbed or mental whatever. Right? You never understand what the real word is. Maniac. Go to Orfino, Idaho. The high school mascot is the maniacs. That's where the state institution is. I know. It is. It's there. A little history lesson in Idaho. But anyhow, that's some of our stuff. So anyway, it's the maniacs. It's from here up. It's tough. It's tough. You'd have looked at that guy and you'd put him somewhere and separated him from all society. You put him next to Jesus and it makes all the difference. Why? How? He's got power. Now, you don't know. He may have drooled and done all those things then and after. You don't know. Well, I mean, sometimes we read scripture like, oh, he had a three-piece suit on. He was this. No, the Bible says he was in his sound mind. He was clothed. Right? He changed enough. He scared all his family to death. His change was so drastic. And this blows my mind. They wanted Jesus out. Isn't that crazy? Well, we need God to change country. He's already thrown out. They're thrown out again. Think about it. Right? But we have to have it. My mind, and this is what I was going with Josh across the street. You don't know what to do. It's the pure definition of a broken heart. You don't know what to do. What do you do? First thing he said, just tell everybody, love your spouse every moment you got. Right? Because the truth sinks in. Because your spouse isn't there anymore. Yeah. And man, that was heavy. I mean, it was right across the street. And it was just Miss Garner. And I was like, man, you ready for that on a Tuesday morning? You ready for that on Wednesday morning? Right? You got to come to God. He promises to give the spirit of a sound mind. He said, I'll do it. I have to think about things that are true. Something happens like that. And the devil says, well, God must not love you. Allow something like that to happen. But we just looked at John 17. He loves us as much as Christ. He loved us before the foundation of the world as He loved the Savior. I have to think on those things if I'm going to have a sound mind.
a sound mind.
My soul. Not to say it won't hurt. We're emotional people, right? I mean, we're emotional people. One of our coaches, it was one of his beginning of the season speeches. I always say, football's an emotional sport. Oh, starts crying. And it's amazing because he's older. And he says, it's emotional. He said, there's highs and lows. And he just really loves it. He loves working with it. It's okay. Emotions are okay. That's just your soul leaking out a little bit, right? Sometimes you cry because you're happy. It's okay. We're emotional. But we don't want to be controlled by emotions. We want to sound those emotions back off God. Is this true, God? You don't love me because you allowed this to happen? He's like, no, son, because of the curse of sin. Death has to happen. The Bible says the time to be born and the time to die. Remember Ecclesiastes? Yeah, I do. I remember that. It's just this time it's real close to home. In fact, it's in the home. I know. The Bible says it's going to rain on the who? The just and the unjust. And I love you. I'll go with it with you. Does it make it any easier? Over time, I think it... I texted my mom, I got home, and I said, man alive, I said, the things I went through at 17 when my dad passed that I thought, you think why, but then it's like, I've had, I think, 3 opportunities now since I've been here to be with somebody and say, hey, you know, I don't know what you're going through, but I went through something close to that. I said, it's hard. It's hard. I remember laying in bed and like he's walking out to go to work. I remember that. Like I just remember my bed was next to the door. I remember those things. Oh God, I'm so angry at God. Whoa, do you think I'd be here? No, you wouldn't be. You have to sound those off God. God said, I love you. I love him too. I love you. I love him too. Nothing's changed. Keep the devil out of it. None of that's true. Not stuff that comes from him is true. The Bible says he's a liar, the father of lies. Doesn't say that about anybody else. Don't believe that stuff. It's not true. It says, I love you. There's going to be tribulation in the world. Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But you need me. You need the spirits that I have. The Bible says power, love, and a sound mind. God, you put my heart back together? I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. But you got to lean on him. 3's so important. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost made us. Made us in 3 parts. Made us a spirit, a soul, and a body. Gave us these 3 spirits here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 to help influence and help us. Help us this year. Help us now. I mean, man alive, going forward, people are like, oh, I hope this year. This whole week's going to be, right? Everybody's going to be posting, glad I survived. A lot of people passed away this year. A lot of people. It seemed like a lot of famous people. I don't know if it's just more of them make the news or whatnot. I'd be like, wow, I wonder if I knew that person. I think I knew that person. There are people I knew passed away. Some because of COVID, some because not because of COVID. But look, I mean, they're going to be digging cemetery holes in 2021. It's going to happen. That stuff's going to happen. Oh, what are you going to do? There's another strain. Right? No. Let's think about things that are true. Let's sound that stuff off God. And let's not live like we're godless people and live like everybody else in the world that's without, chooses to be without God. Let's stand this morning and we'll sing. I didn't pick this, but it's hymn number 3. Number 3. Jesus paid it all. He paid for everything that we receive, our salvation in Him. He pays for these spirits that we're able to be influenced by. Our altars are open this morning. Hymn number 3.